Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Detroit Lions Breakdown Podcast. I'm Joe Kania. With me, as always, is Eric Schlitt from USA Today Lions Wire, and this is the official Lions podcast of USA Today Lions Wire. Eric, season mercifully ended on Sunday with a 23-20 loss to the Green Bay Packers.
I thought it was closer than that, for whatever reason.
Put a nice capper on a 3-12-1 season. The Lions will pick third in the NFL draft. We won't talk about that yet.
Yeah.
We will talk about coaching changes. And a bunch of them were fired not on Black Monday, but on Lions firing Tuesday.
And then a couple more stepped away today, leaving a coaching staff of...
A coaching vacuum.
Yeah, they're going to need to replace six coaches, including two coordinators, and a strength and conditioning coordinator as well, and an assistant. So eight spots that they're going to have to fill, and they're going to be on the clock to fill those too. So we'll get to that a little bit later.
All right, so one move we all kind of questioned whether or not it was coming was defensive coordinator Paul Pasqualoni. It's very well known that he was the mentor to Matt Patricia, so nobody thought about this 2 years ago that, hey, one day you're going to have to fire this guy.
Well, I think we might have talked about
it. What's going to happen when they have to fire him. And, of course, they didn't fire him. He's stepping aside himself. They'll give him some special title.
No, I don't think he's...
Oh, he's not coming back.
Staying with the team at all.
Oh, well.
I think he's stepping
thank
away.
You, Paul Pasqualoni.
Yeah.
Because most people try to hang on for dear life.
What's strange is it was only a few weeks ago he was talking about how he got married later in life and he has a kid who is in college right now and that he needs...
He needs to work. He needs the money. Yeah. Where did all of this other money go? Syracuse money.
I'm sure he's...
I don't know. How can we be that sure?
I'm sure he's doing fine. But he was saying that he wanted to coach for a long time. And
he still can.
And now he's stepping away. So stepping away means you're not fired. It means Patricia doesn't have to fire a mentor. It saves a little bit of face.
It does bother me that Patricia doesn't do things the hard way. But, prefers to do them the easy way.
Well, you know, like we said, like you said, this is a little bit of a unique circumstances being that he has looked up to him for such a long time. I wholeheartedly thought that he was going to get the Gunther Cunningham treatment. And the fact that he's not, I think, is a step in the right direction. At least he's not. I don't think they need him in the building.
Sucking up another salary,
right? Yeah, I mean you don't need him. In all honesty, if you've probably, you know,
probably wasn't calling the defensive plays down the stretch, anyways.
Well, that's there's a lot to be debated about that for sure. I don't know. I don't know what how much he was involved. They're not going to tell us. You know, Patricia oversees everything, so it's very difficult to ascertain the difference between him just overseeing plays and actually calling plays. That's just, that's an answer we're not going to get. But he's gone, and they're going to have to replace him. And you have about 3 weeks to do that. So because of the playoffs... There's all kinds of rules that go along with the playoffs.
Yeah, they can't interview those coordinators.
But it gets different with the there's a difference between the coordinators and the position staff, or the position coaches. You can still interview the position coaches, but you have to get permission from the team. So let's say
Belichick's not giving permission to anybody during the playoffs.
Yeah, probably not, but he might with Patricia.
Assuming that's where they go.
Right. Well, I mean, okay. So let's say they want to look at Gerard Mayo, and he's the inside linebackers coach for the Patriots. And let's say Patricia's interested in him, they want to interview him, they'd have to get permission from Belichick. And whether or not Belichick would release that, who knows? They're not on a bye this week, so that means they need him in the house doing... preparation for their playoff game. So I don't know how willing he would be to go. So you got to get permission to interview any of these guys. Now, which guys are realistic? I don't know. It's hard to say. When news releases like this and there's no information, being passed along through the back channels for us, we're all just speculating. We're all just grasping at straws and looking at guys that are good coaches defensively or potentially have ties to the current coaching staff, because that's really, you know, what we think they're going to do, right, is get somebody who has ties to the scheme.
Well, I know. That's the sad thing. It's not like they could sit back and be like – and the Lions are not in the position to do this anyways, where you're looking around the league. It's like, hey, see that San Francisco defensive coordinator?
Sure.
Go get him. Go pay him whatever it takes. That guy's not going to leave San Francisco for Detroit, well, nor is Patricia going to want him because it's a different scheme, blah, blah, blah.
There's a real, in my mind, there's a very big difference between hiring a defensive coordinator and an offensive coordinator. With an offensive coordinator, the only thing you have to be concerned about is, are you keeping...
Does he like Matthew Stafford?
No, it's do my offensive linemen fit your offensive scheme? And that's really all you have to be worried about, because the skill players are skill players. You can make those adjustments. It's relatively easy to replace an offensive coordinator with an outside person that you're not familiar with. But with the defensive scheme, especially one as unique as Patricia's, you can't. This team is built for this scheme, and if you bring in a guy who wants to run a 4-3, you are going to have a couple of linebackers that don't fit. You're going to have a very big hole at a 4-3 defensive end spot. You know what I mean? Like there's some very obvious problems with just bringing a good defensive coach in. You have to bring a coach that's going to understand how to use the personnel that you've spent the last two off seasons bringing into that defensive side. So, you know, when you look at who is out there, it's a limited pool. Now, Jeff Risden wrote, we mentioned this when we were recording last week, he wrote 10 guys that he thought the Lions might be interested in. Chris Burke of The Athletic also wrote an article with, I think he named 16 different guys. What I found interesting was the crossover between them. That crossover, I think, is really where you're going to see, you know, if two people are reporting that this guy's in the mix, then he's probably someone that the Lions are considering. As more writers write information, then that might help kind of, we can kind of cross-populate these things and see what happens. But of the Risden Burke list, Jerod Mayo, the guy we mentioned right off the top, he is a guy that was on both lists. And that makes, like we said, it makes sense because of familiarity with the scheme. They both had John Butler, who's the Bills defensive backs coach. I found that interesting. I don't know if he has ties to the Patricia scheme or if he's just a good coach. I believe he's just a good coach. They both had Brett Bielema.
Oh no!
which
out of they're actively antagonizing me.
But again, that is mostly because he has ties to the scheme. I don't think he's a serious contender. And if he probably is. It would be a problem. another former player, DeMeco Ryans, former linebacker. Now, he's the guy that coaches with the 49ers now.
He's a young guy. He just barely retired from playing.
Right. But he's on the rise. Chris Richard, who is of the Cowboys. He's been their defensive backs coach, and he's also their passing game coordinator.
Wild.
We saw that a few years back with Al Golden, where he was – or no, not Al Golden, the quarterbacks coach, where we were seeing there on both sides.
John Butler's ties to New England, Penn State, and the Houston Texans, meaning he's a Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien, yeah, okay. John Pagano is the Texas – the Texans outside linebackers coach.
So there's your
again. There's
Bill O'Brien
again. Yep, yeah. And the other one is Shane Bowen, who is the Titans linebackers coach. Who would be under
once again? That's a Vrabel.
Yeah, Mike Vrabel in Tennessee. So there's some ties between those are the guys that made both lists, and there's guys that didn't that each guy that each both Risden and Burke added that were
Wade
independent
Phillips.
Of each other. Yeah, I thought Wade was returning.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought. Yeah. Well, whatever.
Or there was something going
on.
Throw
it in
with
there,
him.
See what happens.
But, you know, like, there was a few names that kind of older names that jumped out. Ray Horton jumped out on Jeff's list for me. I really don't have a strong feeling on any of these guys right now.
Yeah, no. And I don't know if we should. I don't know if we should.
Yeah, I don't. And it would make sense that they have. Well, it makes sense that they would have somebody in mind before.
Sure.
This.
He's had to have been thinking about that for the last 7 weeks of the season. Well, like, probably. I'm going to need a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, probably more. So I'm sure he was looking at the Texans and the Titans, and because of the scheme similarities. You know, the Patriots, of course, are going to be in that mix. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have a good lean. I don't have anything right now. So I really think that there's going to have to be someone who's familiar with the scheme. And I do think a linebacker's coach, because of the versatility of which and the importance of which the linebackers are in this scheme, having a linebacker's coach as the coordinator makes the most sense, which means that's Mayo, Pagano, Bowen. Those are the guys who, in my opinion, would have a leg up over like the Bielema or the Butlers or the Richards, right? So if I'm guessing, it's probably they would be looking at a linebackers coach. But again, I don't have any information. That's just me speculating on that. But yeah, they're going to have to replace him pretty quickly here. They're going to need a guy going into the Senior Bowl that's ready to rock. And again, that's like 3 weeks away. And I guess we can just point this out now. They have officially accepted the Senior Bowl invite. And we'll talk more about that later on in the podcast, about what that means and whatnot. But yeah, they've officially they're going to be doing that. And that's in 3 weeks, less than 3 weeks. So they got to get this rolling. So and they
got to hire somebody, and yeah. Then hire a bunch of guys.
Yeah, it's not just defensive coordinator. Senior Bowl.
Ugh. All right, so flipping over to the other side of the ball, offensive line coach Jeff Davidson stepping away. Was he a Bevel guy? No. Patricia guy?
Patricia.
Okay, not a Caldwell guy.
Correct.
All right.
Yeah, so he was hired
2 years ago.
Correct. Right. They kept Cooter, but they cleared out some of the offensive staff, and Patricia specifically targeted Davidson.
And he was the quarterbacks coach somewhere else, or was he always?
No, he was always an offensive line coach.
I'm getting confused.
He was always an offensive line coach. He had a history. He had like time in Minnesota. Maybe he had some crossover with Bevel, but he was hired before Bevel, so Bevel wouldn't have been part of that.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I wouldn't be surprised if they did one of two things. One of them is, I'm blanking on the name of the offensive line coach that came from Notre Dame, went to Chicago, and now just got fired from Chicago. He was a guy who was mentioned before, just got fired from Chicago. But the other guy that I think makes a ton of sense based on what I've heard and what I know of the Lions is that they really like Hank Fraley. And Hank Fraley is the former Eagles center, played in the league for, a decade or something like that, right? I went into coaching. The Lions hired him when they hired Davidson as the assistant offensive line coach. I would not be surprised to see Hank Fraley just get a promotion. And that keeps your continuity on offense when you're not bringing in a new guy with a new like concept. I believe it would be the promotion of Fraley probably makes the most sense.
Hank or Harry Highstand.
Yeah, Highstand.
That's who you're thinking of. Thank you. He got blown out in Chicago.
Thank you.
All right, so yeah, Davidson, he probably shouldn't have hung around. Like, the running game has improved. They average a little over 100 yards per game on the ground, but that's still only good for middle of the pack in the NFL.
Yeah.
Needs to be better than that to be truly effective in Bevel's offense. I was looking at the rankings the other day, and one of our theory doesn't hold totally true, but a lot of the, if you take a look at the top 10 teams in rushing yardage, at least half of them made the playoffs. So it's like what we see every year. They got to have a better running game. All right. Next guy, special teams coordinator John Bonamago, who's a former Lions special teams coach. Fired twice now in 2 years. Last year as the head coach at Central Michigan University. Now this year, special teams coordinator. They had a very good special teams, according to PFF, for a good first DVOA. 8 or 9 games of the season. DVOA. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the first couple of games, they were bad, and then they picked it up, and they were really good for the
and
middle of the season.
They fell apart at the end of the year.
The last 6 weeks, six, seven weeks, they started struggling. They gave up a couple kick returns for touchdowns. They started getting more penalties. Their coverage units were slow. Yeah.
But then again, when all your special teams players are forced to start starting on offense and defense, you shouldn't do too much defending of them.
Yeah, but I mean, I was a bit surprised to see Bonamigo go, but I'm also not overly surprised. He is, he's average. Like right now, what the Lions want is they want a top 10 special teams unit. And right now, Bonamigo was average. They finished the year, I think, at 11 or something like that. But again, so it's a little bit better than average. But this is the issue with Sam Martin, and we'll get into that in a little bit. Sam Martin is kicking average. They're paying him average, and they want him to be better than average. So especially if they're going to pay him, you know, reasonable money. So they want better than average, and I think that's why.
You go get Frank Beamer. Start playing Beamer ball.
He was such a good special teams coach.
The best, yes. The best special teams coach to ever ascend to the role of head coach somewhere.
Although John Harbaugh was a special.
Oh, that's right, Harbaugh. He might. Yeah, he would probably vie for the title. Yeah. I mean, Beamer never won a national championship. Yeah. All right, linebackers coach Al Golden, who was previously fired as the University of Miami head coach at some point. It wasn't twice in 2 years. He's been around for a little while.
When I leading down the stretch, I kept saying, I don't want to name names because I don't want to put people on blast because I think that if they lose their jobs, or if they don't lose their jobs, I'll have to face them. But I said Al Golden's name anyways. You know what I mean? And so this is not a surprise to me. The linebackers underperformed again. I don't think he really has... I don't think his concepts mesh with what the Lions are doing, and I never thought the fit was ever really that great. I'm not overly surprised by this. They're going to need somebody though. They're going to need to find their Gerard Mayo in order to you know bring somebody up. It'll probably be a young up and comer who's maybe even a former player. So it'll be interesting to see how that position coach is filled.
All right, next man out is secondary coach Brian Stewart.
You know, Brian Stewart's not a bad coach, but the play on the field kind of says the opposite, right?
Sure.
The big thing and the main reason why I believe...
Hemorrhaging passing yards.
But you can
blame a lot of that on the defensive line.
Correct. I think the real reason that he was probably let go... They had 7 interceptions, and 2 of them came from linebackers. So his secondary produced 5 interceptions. That's not great, especially when they went into the offseason saying, we need to find guys that can make plays on the ball. Look, Amani Oruwariye also had 2 interceptions, and he only played like 20% of the snaps. So you take 2 away from the linebackers, you give 2 to a rookie, and now his team, who has Pro Bowler Darius Slay, only did 3 other interceptions, and that I think is the big catalyst for him.
All right, next up, unsurprisingly, tight ends coach Chris White. The tight ends definitely underperformed this season, except for one great game out of T.J. Hockenson.
Other than, this is the Al Golden scenario all over again. I said I didn't want to name names, but Chris White was a name that I named. And so, again, it was expected.
All right, finally, strength and conditioning coordinator Harold Nash and his assistant Rodney Hill were both fired as well. Now, this interesting wrinkle, you know, it comes all the Lions' injury woes. Now, not all of them are true injury woes because once they could put him on IR and promote other guys to keep as many guys on a protected roster as possible, they did that, but they still didn't do a great job managing injuries, especially at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, training camp was really rough. They couldn't get guys on the field early in training camp that they wanted.
This has always been a big problem with the Lions, their training staffs, and I know, like, we really can't focus too much on that because it's whatever else goes on the field. But the line, we sit here for 3 years now talking about how, you know, how we've suffered all these injuries, right? You know, we've bit by the injury bug. But this, every team goes through it, but it seems that we've been rather heavily hit for 20 plus years now. So, I don't know, they have to come up with a solution there.
Well, I think in a lot of ways Nash is a scapegoat.
We got to have scapegoats. Patricia, right. You didn't want to get fired.
Well,
I'll fire all these other guys. You don't have to fire me.
If he gets fired, most of these other guys are going anyway.
They're all going anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but Nash is very intense. He runs a very hard workout regimen. And it's possible that maybe they were overworked. That was the story last year, right? Maybe they were overworked early. And that was what caused them injuries and fatigue early in the season. So this is a hard one because it, like you said, it's hard to put injuries onto a training staff. But you know, they're going to see stuff that's going on behind the scenes. They're going to see how the workout's going. They're going to see how he's working with players during rehab processes. Why players lingered on the injury report maybe longer than they needed to.
Ziggy.
Matthew
Stafford.
But I mean, a lot of guys hung around on the injury report for a long time. Yeah. So Nash gets the brunt of the blame for that. And we'll have a new strength and conditioning coach, and we'll see how that goes as well. So it's a lot of, like I said, they can hesitate on the strength and conditioning coordinator if they want to, but not too long, because they're going to have these guys coming back and starting workouts soon too. Yeah, so they're going to have to do some turnarounds quick, but I 3 weeks it's enough time to get this done.
All right, so we're going to go position by position. We're not going to talk about the Packers game. Lions pulled out to a lead, then blew it. Packers looked terrible. Whatever. Won at the last second, just like the first game. Without penalties to help them. Maybe one of the worst 13-3 teams I've ever seen, but I'm too biased because of those two Lions games stuck in there. I've seen them play a few other games that weren't as bad. All right, starting with the quarterback position. Positives and negatives. Matthew Stafford. The positives.
Yep, that was about
having MVP level season until the negative occurred.
Yeah, and the injuries were negatives. Driscoll, I thought, was positive until the injury. Blau struggled after his first game.
Yeah, he's not great. Yeah. I mean, he's still probably got a lot more developing to do before we would know if he was good or not.
I think, yes, I agree. I think he has the mentality to be a backup, could develop into a backup. I don't think he's a backup ready now, which means that they might want to add some competition. Right now, Stafford's under contract, Blau's under contract, Kyle Sloter's under contract.
Oh boy.
And that might be enough to go into the offseason. Jeff Driscoll, who was the number two, is a unrestricted free agent. In my mind, I think they could bring him back. It would make some sense.
All right, running backs. We're talking just mainly about Kerryon Johnson and Bo Scarborough.
Both are back.
Both healthy. They both will be back.
And then you have Ty Johnson, who showed some life.
He was the best one out of the three on Sunday.
He had some burst. You saw his 4.3 speed.
Yeah, it's what we've seen before. Like, because that was the one thing I did like about it. He hit the hole hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. And so you've got those three all coming back. J.D. McKissic is a restricted free agent who you're probably going to pay $2 million to keep him. So maybe they don't because...
Or a gadget guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're way under the cap. What does it matter?
Well, both Scarborough and Ty Johnson are making next to nothing. Kerryon's making decent money. So they have the money at that position there to spend if they want to. Wes Hills will be an exclusive rights free agent. Yeah. We talked about that. He's an easy bring back. Just even if it's just as a camp body, he's an easy bring back. The health of the unit was the big negative overall. They struggled to find consistency. Once you finally found it at the end, you saw a little bit of what is to come or what could come. And like I said in our last podcast, with a healthy Matthew Stafford and a healthy offensive line. You should start next season with both those things.
Absolutely.
And that should make this running game better. I still would not be surprised if they added a running back in the draft. Not necessarily in free agency, unless something just, you know, falls to them at the right player at the right price type of thing. But I wouldn't be surprised if they add another guy. I do think McKissic is a maybe. I could see them not picking up his RFA and then just offering him a cheaper contract and then getting him back that way. They did that with Zach Zenner a couple years back. Yep. So, but I do think they like McKissic. They would like to bring him back. But, man, McKissic's touches went down when it was Kerryon and Bo both healthy. So.
Yeah, but I don't know. I still like the idea of him being useful
on
wacky plays.
Sure.
All right. Wide receivers. Kenny Galladay breaks his yardage. His personal high in yardage.
Mm-hmm.
Leads the league in TD reception, so a nice little fantasy pickup for whoever had in the season.
Yeah, and Marvin was two behind him, even though we missed the final 3 weeks of the season. They both return in 2020. You don't have Danny Amendola, but all indications...
Won't he be back?
I think they would make a strong push to bring him back, and I think they could get him cheap. He'll be 30.
Off the cliff.
He'll be 34, so they're going to have a game plan behind him. They also have Marvin Jones under contract. Chris Lacy, Travis Fulgham, both under contract. And then they signed Tom Kennedy, Victor Bolden, and John Duhart to futures deals. So they have a nice...
You mentioned base. Marvin Hall, another Mackey play guy.
I really liked what I saw in Marvin Hall as that fourth wide receiver. This is such an impressive wide receiver class that even if you bring Amendola back, I still think they grab one in the first four picks, and that's a guy who could potentially replace Amendola or take some snaps away from Amendola, or if Amendola gets injured, then he can step up. So I still think, even with Marvin Hall as a nice four, I still think they're going to take a receiver, because there's just this class has so much talent. You can get a guy who can be a big contributor that you don't have to spend a big pick on.
All right, next up, the tight ends. Hockenson showed us some flashes, like most rookie tight ends. But outside of two games, he was rather poor.
That's most rookies, right?
We need to see something out of him next year. We can't sit around next year and then, he was hurt a little bit, and he had 41 catches or whatever. Like, he's got to make a step forward next year.
But I think, I think it's common that most tight ends do, and I think the expectations are he will. Jesse James is the big problem here for me, because
he's under contract. He ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, he's under contract. They need him to be better, and he wasn't. Logan Thomas was the third. He is a unrestricted free agent. They're going to either need him to come back or bring someone else in who has similar skill set. Because as much as I like Isaac Nauta, I still think Nauta's a tight end four until he shows me more. I don't think he's ready to be a tight end three just yet. Now, maybe they bring Logan back and Isaac takes some big steps in year two. Like we just said, we expect Hockenson to. If Nauta can do that, then he can be a tight end three potentially. But I think they're going to need some insurance. So they might add a tight end here that can fill that tight end three role. And maybe it's Logan Thomas. They liked what they had in him. One of his best contributions isn't at tight end, it's on special teams. He was a very good special teamer this year, so I really liked what I saw out of him.
All right, the offensive line. Oh, you didn't mention Matt Sokol. Got a futures deal. He was very nondescript as a Spartan. So this is very interesting pickup. They must see something projectable in him or something. Or just need another body. Who knows?
Well, they got a few blocking tight ends. I don't know with Sokol. I didn't have a draftable grade on him. He didn't get drafted. He went to the Chargers, and so now he's here. I don't know. We'll
see. Not excited about him or anything. I just had to note him because he's a Spartan.
Sure.
All right, offensive line. Decker, Glasgow, Ragnow, all graded out in the top 10 of their position per Pro Football Focus. Joe Dahl, the 24th guard.
Overall,
So that'd be in the top 12 guard tandems in the NFL. How could these guys grade out so high and the offense wasn't better?
Pass blocking. They're really good pass blockers.
Yeah, because they didn't surrender many sacks. They didn't run so great. How can these guys all be number one when,
Well, they're not all number one. They're just in the top 10.
I'm sorry.
I think Decker showed me more in the back half of this season than he had in his first 4 years combined. He finally put it all together. It seemed like he had
he's only got 16 more games here before he moves out. That sounds about right.
He looked very good in the back half. Glasgow, I've always been a big Glasgow fan.
He might be gone.
And Ragnow, I think, was PFF's number two or number three. Number one for a long time. Yeah, that's very good. I was very impressed by Joe Dahl.
He developed. How about that?
And it's rare, to see a guy this late, a Lions guy this late, develop and then turn into a star. I mean, he was clearly better in training camp. You could see he was clearly better. Then he gets the contract extension. And then he starts. Then he performs. It was a good year for Joe.
It's bizarre. Almost like they knew what they were doing. Now Jeff Davidson's gone. No, I'm just kidding.
Rick Wagner was a disappointment.
He's not. He is what he is.
He was a disappointment to me.
He's not that great.
He was...
What were they saying all last year?
Well, when they signed him to be one of the better right tackles in the league.
They paid him like it.
And he was one of the worst.
Yep.
I think he ended up being PFF's, 63rd tackle or something like that.
Two more years.
But maybe not. I think he's a cut candidate. I think he's a guy that they'd be willing to take the wash on And but you're going to need a replacement.
Tyrell Crosby.
It could
He's already replacing him anyway.
Yeah, he has been, right? And playing better. In all honesty, and I hate to say that too because it's a small sample size, but Crosby showed better than Wagner did in his time.
And Crosby looked terrible in the preseason.
Oh gosh, yes, yeah, he was a disaster. But he looked good as a rookie, and again, he's the type of guy that could step in, and I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up winning the starting role. I do also think that they could take with Decker being in that. You said it yourself, Decker's got might have only 16 games
left as a Lion, and if he only counting them down,
and if he only has 16 games left, and you're not happy with Rick Wagner.
Is that Georgia offensive tag, right? Wow. Where who?
Oh, Andrew Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's it. If you're talking about taking it three. Tristan Wirfs, Andrew Thomas, Willis from Alabama. Those are all the top
right
three.
Tackle before moving to left tackle in year two.
Wirfs. Yeah, but here's the thing. I don't think they're going to take a tackle at three.
I wouldn't think so either, but it's an option.
But I do think they will take a tackle in the first three picks. Because they're going to need a succession plan for Decker. They're going to need insurance. They may need someone to start over Rick Wagner. They may need, if they decide to cut bait with him. So I do think a tackle is definitely in the plans. I'm not ruling it out at three. I'm also not like super high on taking it a tackle at three. But there's three out there that are really good in this draft class. So we'll see how it goes. The tackle fallout is going to be interesting. Maybe they even give Decker an extension. You know, you never know.
Yeah, you never know. I don't think he wants to be here, but we'll see.
The trick is what...
I have nothing behind that.
But this brings up an interesting debate. Is Glasgow's a free agent, and he says he wants to feel wanted. The Lions don't negotiate in season, they say, but then they also extended Christian Jones midseason. So I don't know. I don't know. The feeling is he's been in a rotation. I think they don't want to pay him. And I think they're going to let him test the market. And I think if he tests the market, he's going to make more money than what the Lions are going to offer him. And then he's gone. I think that that's a bad
move. Jaguar in no time.
I think it's a bad move to let him go. My counterpart at Lions Wire, Jeff Risden, thinks it's a good idea to let him go. Because he doesn't think spending priority money
might not be prudent. I can understand that.
Do you lean one way or another? Do you think he's the guy you should target?
I would say I'd be in the camp. You can't have three $10 million offensive linemen.
Well, let me preface it like this. I think he makes eight and a half.
He makes eight and a half now?
I think he will make eight and a half.
Yeah, that's still all right. That's close enough to $10 million for me. That they can't have three offensive linemen making a combined $29 million. I don't think. Okay. I'd have to take a look at the rest of the league. But I don't think many teams do that.
What if you cut Wagner and you're going to replace?
That's a different story.
Well, let's say. Well,
then I'd keep him
if that's in the plan.
If you got rid of Wagner, well, now you can have two $10 million linemen. Okay. Especially when you're center and you're Rag now makes like what $4 million or something.
Not much. Not much.
Not that
I,
much.
I
like
could,
the other guys make. Oh yeah, we probably have it.
I don't have it. Nope, oh. I don't. I haven't updated it yet.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, he can't make more than five or six as a first rounder.
I wouldn't think it's that bad.
Yeah, I don't think it is either. But Joe Dahl makes less than three.
Yeah. So then it's different. You can have. We do it right now. We have two $10 million lines.
If you cut Wagner, you can probably keep Glasgow. Sure. Maybe
if they keep Wagner, he's probably said he's got to go.
So there, I mean, that's a fair compromise.
All right, next up, the defensive line. Trey Flowers finally got better as the season wore on. It took him a long time to recover from that injury. He was Lions' best defender by the end of the year. He had seven sacks. We weren't supposed to expect him to be a high-end pass rusher just to make $18 million a year.
He did both, though. He was.
He could defend against the run as well. He's a good player. I don't know if he's $18 million a year player.
He graded out as like an 82 in PFFs, which is in just under like their elites. Pretty high up there, but he graded out very well, better than any Lions defensive end in a long time.
Even better, Ziggy in like 2014.
I don't know. I'd have to go back and look.
So he had a couple good years there.
But I was very impressed with what I saw out of Flowers because he does
Sue in 2014.
No, but defensive ends. Never mind. you know, I think injuries really limited what they could do. I still think they need a pass rusher on the other side.
Sure do.
Kennard probably played better than I give him credit for, but I think that's a spot they probably need to look at upgrading.
Yeah, he's another okay player. Well, I mean, this is why the defense is so bad. Like, yeah, Trey Flowers, yeah, he's not elite, but he gets paid elite money.
I think
and Devin Kennard's, yeah, he's all right. You know, like, they have a bunch of all right players.
I can tell you, I think, if I'm looking at, are they worth the money that they're getting paid, I would say I'm okay with Trey Flowers making that much money. I don't know if I'm as okay with Devin Kennard or even Damon Harrison making the money that they make.
Yeah, well, I think, but in fairness to Damon Harrison, I think at the beginning of the year, most people were in agreement that he was worth it. Now, yeah, now, no. Yeah, of course not, no. Mike Daniels, of course. I love the thing you put up today. It's like, Mike Daniels is really open to coming back. Oh, yeah, of course he is. You know, nobody else is going to offer him a contract. And he's got a free $8.5 million this year.
Well, let's finish. I want to talk about defensive tackles more.
Okay. All right. But, well, let's keep talking about it.
Well, with the defensive end, though, I just want to wrap them up. You have Flowers on, for a few more years. You've got Aquara through next year. You've got Kennard through next year. You've got Austin Bryant for two more years after that. So you've got your edge guys, but you really need help there. They need to add a guy who's better than Austin Bryant.
Well, you can
Bryant
only really add one guy.
Or you can lose a guy. Or you can shift a guy. You know, I think they can add one more confidently, but it's going to have to be someone that's really good.
It's too bad it wasn't Eric Lee. Oh, wait a second.
Yeah. Jonathan Wynn is an exclusive rights free agent. I expect him to be back.
Roster fodder.
Yeah, exactly. All right, but yeah, we started talking about defensive
interior. A lot of interior defensive linemen. Damon Harrison might retire.
Yeah.
So we don't know. Either he's under contract. He's really, they're not going to cut him, right?
No.
They can't. So he'll probably be around if he's not retired, so there's really not much to say there. Deshaun Hand, let's hope he comes back healthy and takes a step forward, or at least regains his rookie form. Mm-hmm. You know, like, be nice if he got a little bit. I want to see him healthy. Seemed like a good guy, you know, a good guy to have around.
They also have John Atkins under contract. I thought Atkins showed a little bit more, but he's just a reserve nose tackle.
Right out. Yeah, he's just all right.
Kevin Strong will return, who is a guy who I have high hopes for down the stretch.
Yeah, he played well, too, until he got hurt.
Frank Heron, who they signed late, is also signed. I don't expect much of him, but we'll see. Maybe he'll outperform. Jamie Medeer, the guy they signed late, is a restricted free agent. I don't think he will earn that contract. Neither will Darius Kilgo, who got injured in training camp. I don't think he'll get a restricted rights free agent contract either. But A'shaun Robinson and Mike Daniels are both unrestricted free agents. Now, you said Mike Daniels.
Yeah, hopefully Mike Daniels is gone.
I think he'll return on a more incentive-laden
contract. Prove it deal.
Yes. I think that's more realistic, as he's going to recognize, I'm getting older. I'm getting injured more frequently. When he played and he was healthy, he was good. But
that wasn't.
It was few and far between.
A quarter and a half.
Yeah, it's just not a lot.
And A'shaun's gone, right? Do you assume he's gone, or are they going to try to bring him back?
The difficult. I think they're going to let A'shaun test free agency as well.
How much do you think he'll get?
I don't think he'll get as much as he thinks he'll get. Because a run stuffing three technique isn't going to make a lot of money when you can't pass rush from the three technique. But there are teams like the Titans, the Texans, Miami.
The Patriot coach just keeps spreading out, there's teams for these guys.
I really could see him going to Miami and getting $4 or $5 million in Miami. I don't think he'd get more than three here in Detroit. I think it's a possibility that they bring him back. I don't think that they are going to break the bank by any means to bring him back. Just because if he's a run stuffer only, you can find those guys. Like, you can find those guys in the draft. You can find those, you can find those guys on the street. And if you've got Hand and he's healthy, and you've got Kevin Strong, and John Atkins is playing a good role against as a run stuffing defensive tackle right now. I mean, like, I don't think A'shaun is going to be as big of a priority for them, even though I could see him returning, but I don't think it'll be for that much money. I mean, we're talking about Graham making $8.5 million. I don't think A'shaun makes half of that. So, not with Detroit, anyways.
All right, moving on to, well, and we'll talk about defensive tackles a little bit. We talk about the Lions draft pick if we can get to it.
Okay.
Linebackers. Ugh. We're mired in a big mess with a lot of guys returning next year.
All of them except for Killebrew, right? You've got...
And that's one guy you might keep to play special teams.
Yeah, but okay, well, here's...
He can go.
Here's the rub.
He can go.
When I ranked my free agents, when I ranked the Lions unrestricted free agents, I said you've got Steve Longa, Jason Kabinda, Christian Stam on a futures deal, and Anthony Pittman, and Jalen Reeves-Maven, who are all good special teamers. Is Miles Killebrew that much better than Maven?
It's expendable.
I mean, Reeves, Maven, and Longa are terrific special teamers. Kabinda is a very good special teamer. Miles Killebrew is a very good special teamer. But is he as good as... Is he worth keep bringing back if that's all he does?
He's the one who's going to end up in New England.
Yeah, maybe. I could see that, right? But as far as, like... While I point out that, like, all these guys are really good off-the-ball linebackers, you really only have three... I'm sorry, while I point out these guys are all good special teamers, you really only have three off-the-ball linebackers for these two spots, and that's Jared Davis, Christian Jones, and Jelani Tavai. And Tavai, in my mind, is the future.
He needs to improve, though.
I think he is going to be a guy who's going to see a majority of snaps next year. I think he's going to make Davis more expendable. We've talked about, he's going to be able to move to different spots and expand his game. We talked about this before. I think Tavai is the catalyst to freeing everybody else up. Christian Jones, he can play all four linebacker spots, which is why they like him. But in my mind, I don't think he should be starting. I think you can use him as a chess piece to move all over the place. And I would rather see a Tavai-Jared Davis combination in my mind. And honestly, Tavai at the mic and move Jared Davis to the will is probably something that is... could work, you know what I mean? Now that Tavai's in his second year, and he's been getting that experience as the mic, he's been getting the experience with the green dot calling the plays. I think Tavai could really be a big cornerstone of this linebacker unit. Now, there are some linebackers in this offensive or in this draft class, these off the ball linebackers. There's a handful of them, but.
They won't take.
I don't know if they're going to take one.
They wouldn't take one that high. Look at all this capital they've spent on it in the last couple of years.
Right. I mean, I don't. They could take. I think the earliest they might take one is day three, and maybe they surprise me and take one earlier than that. But they have invested money in a lot of guys that are on that roster, and I know people aren't happy with the roster, but I think the Lions are happy with the roster, and that's.
Scary.
But that's what it is. Unfortunately, we can disagree with them as much as we want.
They're the ones who get to have all the fun.
Yeah. Yep. So that the linebackers are what they are.
All right. So moving on to corners. We got a bunch of young guys, got a bunch of guys under contract.
Yeah.
And we have a guy who's going to get traded. His name's Darius Slay. I really have a feeling that because. Patricia needs to continue to consolidate power for whatever reason, and one of those reasons is going to be he's got to trade Darius.
The trick is, how do you trade away your only Pro Bowler if you're in a win-now situation?
Bob Quinn will do it. Because their own ego, if I had to make a guess, this because it's what the Diggs deal looks like now. It's like they're letting their own egos get in the way. We got to consolidate power, we got to get these guys out of here. I hope I'm wrong.
I'd say a month ago, I probably agreed with you. Now, not so much. I think I'm leaning more towards him returning now.
I would hope so.
With a lot of the things that are on the table, with his demeanor and the things that he said to us in the locker room, it's made more sense that he would stay. I do think there's a way for them to appease his financial requirements. I do also think that if they do trade him, it would have to be for a pretty significant market impact. Like, they would need a first-rounder minimum, which is apparently what they were looking for, over a first-rounder. And then if you take that first-rounder, then maybe you just take Akuda at three, the Ohio State
corner. Jeffrey Akuda.
Yeah, and then you take that other first-rounder and you get somebody else, you know what I mean? So, or maybe you target another corner with that. Like, you would have to replace Darius Slay with a first-round corner if you trade him away. Like, there's really no easy way around that. And in my mind, I think they can shift money around and they can make him happy and keep him. Because as much as he's been near the top of the salary with the corners this year, in his final year, he's actually going to be lower. And so he's maybe more deserving of a pay bump this season than he was last season. It'll be very interesting to see how it all plays out. I do not think they will bring back Rashawn Melvin. I think they've been happy with Amani Oruwariye. I think right now they're going to have Oruwariye penciled in as that opposite corner with Justin Coleman in the nickel spot. And then they still have Jamal Agnew under contract. Michael Jackson, who they traded or signed off the practice squad from Dallas, who had some upside. And then you have Mike Ford and Dee Virgin as your exclusive rights free agents. Mike Ford has shown flashes. Virgin has been a career special teamer. So there's roles for these guys if they can eke it out. But as far as the starting group, I really think they're going to – I think it's – you can't replace Slay and Melvin with Orari and someone else unless that's a really high draft pick or someone that you pay out the nose through in free agency. And if you're going to pay out the nose, why not pay that to Darius Slay?
Sure. Okay, the safety spots. Tracy Walker, Will Harris. They're going to be here next year. And yeah. So CJ Moore, but what else? Do you see him bringing Tavon Wilson back?
I do. I think he earned it. I think, you know, remember, he took a pay cut at the beginning of the season because they thought you're safety number four right now. And you,
now he's safety number three.
And now he's safety number two, probably, right?
Move him down.
I do think that they want Will Harris to become the every-down player with Tracy Walker.
Maybe he will next year. Who knows? Yeah, he struggled this year, but he was a rookie, so he can improve.
But there's a role for Tavon Wilson or a player like Tavon Wilson in this class. Or in this defense, there are some players in this draft class who could fill the role. There's some very interesting linebacker safety hybrids in this class who could fill that role. In my mind, I think Tavon's earned it. And when I ranked the Lions unrestricted free agents, Tavon Wilson was my priority two player after Graham Glasgow. I said Tavon was the guy you need to go after.
All right. It's a rarity in this league to not draft a defensive back in the draft in any round.
Sure.
So, they make believe they don't trade Darius Slay in the offseason.
Sure.
Are they drafting a corner or are they drafting a safety? And when would they draft
it? I still think they could draft a corner at any point, first through end of the draft. The safeties, I think you're looking at a day three guy. Look, you just spent 2 third-round picks in the last 2 drafts on Walker and Harris. I don't think you can spend another 3rd-round pick on another safety, especially when that safety's playing 50% of snaps, right? Mm-hmm. So it's possible they look with the 3rd-rounder, but in my mind, you can fill that gap with Wilson. You can draft another developmental safety four that will challenge your CJ Moore for that spot, but I don't think that they need. I don't think safety is going to be as big of a priority. It's a priority as far as the role, but I don't think it's going to be a additions priority if they bring back Wilson.
All right, finally, kicking game. Yep. Prater will be back.
Yes.
Martin's back, right?
No, Martin is a free agent.
Yeah, boy.
They redid his contract and took away his 2020 contract year, and they said you have to basically earn it. And then he went out and he looked better, but he was still only average. And so he is a free agent, and we will see what happens.
New punter next year. Don Muehlbach, free agent, but they got to bring him back.
Yeah, and he has said that he still has gas in the tank and he wants to come back. So he's been in the league 16 years, and he thinks he's got some more in him. And I have zero doubts about that. So I think Muehlbach should come back. Sam Martin, I don't know. It's a real question mark. There's something to be said for continuity and bringing back because he's your holder, right? But I don't know. They signed James Fisher as a futures deal long snapper. They signed Jack Fox and Matt Weil as futures deal punters. Those were guys that were on the practice squad on and off all season. So I don't know what Sam Martin's future is.
All right, so that's it, position by position. Team's got the 3rd pick in the draft. Yep. I see you say Jeff Risden has a 7-round mock.
Yeah, I don't think we need to touch on that. I think we're probably getting close. Yeah,
he has Derek Brown as number three. Yeah. But we'll see. There's a lot of maturing of those boards that are going to be done.
Yeah.
I like Derek Brown because he's a fast, fat man. But it could turn out like Nick Fairley at the same time. So
he's the guy that I think people have been mocking to the Lions for a month and a half now, right? And so he makes the most sense right now if Chase Young isn't available, which most people think.
It's likely he won't
There's
be.
All these trade-down scenarios. You've got Miami, Jacksonville, Chargers, who pick at 5-6-7 or 5-7-8 or something like that. They all are in the market for a quarterback, so maybe they trade up. The Lions would be in a good spot to do that because the Giants pick after the Lions, and they don't. Gettleman doesn't trade back at all. Never has, never will. Doesn't like to entertain the thought of it. Maybe someone want to trade up to 2 to get that quarterback, but I don't think they would trade to 2 because they know Washington's not taking the quarterback. They know the Lions aren't taking the quarterback, and the price will be lower to trade up to the Lions. So, I don't know. There's a lot to do. There's a lot to say about a lot of possibilities, and there'll be plenty of time for us to swoon over those options. Ritson has a good mock, a nice mock, a lot of good player names to know. Those are the guys, we'll just leave that. I think we can hit a couple more things before our time runs out.
We mentioned that they're going to coach in the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
So big, that's big. You like that.
Yeah, big opportunity because they draft players from the Senior Bowl all the time. In the last two drafts, they've drafted 7 guys or something like that. I wrote the numbers in my article. Every guy that Quinn has drafted, it was a pretty good list of. And so now they're going to be up close with these guys. They're going to get a chance to know them more intimately, and they're going to have a better understanding of who they are and what the value is. And it's just, if you're already going to draft guys from this game, why not get as much possible information from them as you can? And this affords them that opportunity. I really like that they get the opportunity to be at the Senior Bowl.
And finally, they're eligible to be on Hard Knocks again. Or to be on Hard Knocks for the first time. Now, if we all remember correctly, they lost out to the Oakland Raiders this season. And it's likely this upcoming season they'll lose out to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, the Steelers are really the prime choice, it seems. The Denver Broncos, Jacksonville Jaguars, Arizona Cardinals are the other guys that are in this mix. But it sure seems like the Steelers are the obvious front runner and the one that I expect the Lions to lose out to. HBO has to be just drooling at getting. I mean, look, you can make a case for every team, but the sure. Steelers just make.
Yeah, but the Steelers, they're one of the big five. You know, yeah. They're one of the main. One of the flagship franchises in the NFL as of today. All right, that's it. We've covered all we wanted to cover for this week.
Yeah, there's a lot of information in there. A
lot of information. No playoff preview, but, you know.
No, sorry.
Let this go around.
We will. I was going to take questions, and then the information out of Allen Park just kept coming and coming and coming and coming. We're going to get questions. We're going to get that out soon. We have not seen an increase in our reviews from iTunes, but that's fine. But Joe figured out how to get us on Spotify.
You figured people a glitch don't in the care system. About because they've already listened to us, or they already know and therefore are listening to us.
I think there's a lot of people that wanted to listen to us on Spotify but couldn't, and so they suffered through other mediums.
Well, I hope we didn't lose them.
Hopefully
they come back.
Yeah, from what I gather, there's a lot of people that really like it because it offers them more freedom. But we're moving up the rankings there. We're up the
we're pushing our way up there.
8 or something like that, right? So we'll move up there. We'll get higher up there, hopefully, as more people listen. And that's good. Nice to see. We are working on some other behind-the-scenes things to continue to try and make this an easier listening experience with more opportunities. We've had a bunch of people talk to us behind the scenes and say they want to help us contribute to the podcast in some manner. And so we are in the process of getting a Patreon page up there. We'll see how it goes. And I've got some ideas on how we can compensate people for wanting to donate to us. So if that comes across and that works out, that'll be great. And so, you know, we've got a lot of information coming your way in the next few months. So, yeah, I hope everyone is still sticking around even though the season's over.
Yeah, well, I hope so. And if they know you're writing well, they will, because the way you got here is by talking about the draft and having your knowledge and that background. And hopefully you all, this is your time of year. Yeah. It has been ever since I first met you a long, long time ago.
Yep.
So we'll be looking forward to that. And so that's it. That's it for the week. And we'll try this again next week. And until that time, let's go Lions.